This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And this morning, we welcome County Commissioner Randy Rodell.
Good morning, John and Robin. Good to see you guys.
Yeah,
good to see
you, too. Good to see you.
Yeah, before we even get into the county stuff, as a former Kalispell fire chief, you must have been pretty happy with the way that this public service levy came out.
You know, I think this process didn't just start when the levy came out. Really, this process started many years ago when we started looking at land and we developed fire station location plan. And so there's already land ready for this, for any kind of expansion, new station. There's there's property available for two new stations at different ends of the city. And I think Chief Pierce is doing a great job of leading this, and he'll lead this process right through making this all happen.
Yeah. But even when you were chief, you guys had these kind of challenges too.
We did. We really had some challenges. Back then we had, when I came here, we had four shifts, and that was really difficult to get enough people to respond on any kind of fire, not just residential, but certainly commercial. And so we made the tough change to three shifts and took the people on that fourth shift and moved them on the third. So we added those numbers, increased the hours that the firefighters were working. That started a process of getting more people on the fire. Boots on the ground is what we call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, the equipment. Even when you were chief, it was expensive to buy a fire engine. What is it now?
Well, you know, it's very easy to put $1 million into a fire engine today. And when you think about that, you know, we have some equipment in the county that's $1 million plus. But a fire engine is a critical piece of equipment that has to, when you start that engine up, it's got to start, it's got to produce, it's got to be completely dependable.
And you've got all kinds of systems on that too, and
yep.
Pumping systems and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I started, when I got in the business, I was driving a what's called a Brownie, and it has a transmission, it's called a Brownie, that is has two different levers. You have to move them, you have to do, you can't miss a beat. And if you do, you have to stop and start all over again. And so when we got the first automatic transmission, it was like nobody wanted to drive it because nobody trusted this big change. Yeah. Robin was talking earlier today about livery stables, you know,
yeah.
and the change there, and that it was really... you know, the fire service tends to be 100 years of tradition, unhampered by progress. And so, yeah, it was good changes.
Two levers and double clutching.
Double clutching, yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
I still don't have any idea how they were able to back those 1952 Pershes into the old fire station there. I think Bernard Hansen maybe had 3 inches on his side.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, firefighters, they test their driving skills, they practice that, and they spend a lot of time making sure, because you've got to go through traffic. You have to drive aggressively defensive, and mm-hmm. and you have to push those limits right up to the inch when you're moving vehicles through heavy traffic.
That's true of any emergency vehicle, including a police officer, too.
Yep.
They get training for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's get on to a really touchy subject right now, and the homeless situation. It just doesn't seem to be getting any better, Randy.
Yeah, you know, I applaud the city for considering the CUP coming up in this workshop in May. Of course, we're not part of city government, but we're watching it really close. And really, we started 2 years ago, I guess, with a letter that went out to the community saying, you have to take responsibility for what our community looks like. And as long as we keep giving money to panhandling, we're going to keep having panhandling. And I applaud Columbia Falls and Whitefish because they don't have warming centers, and they purposely said, no, we're not going to do this. And so we don't see the transient issue in Whitefish and Columbia Falls that we do in Kalispell. We have a warming center here, and the city is really looking at the increase in what's going on with with the just the whole look of the Meridian area and the crime issues that are going on, and the number of calls for law enforcement that are, and certainly medical that's going into that area. So I appreciate them taking a look at this. I think it all goes back to the letter that the county commissioner sent out asking the community to step up and take personal responsibility.
Well, revoking that conditional use permit is a very extreme measure.
It is an extreme
It will close
measure.
That center down.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'm, you know, I would say that the city should or shouldn't do that, but I think that it's time to take a look at it.
Well, I drove by there yesterday at 5:30, and there wasn't a soul out there.
Yeah.
Wasn't anybody.
Yeah.
And I know that that Tanya has strict rules. They can't even come into the center until 5:30.
Yeah,
and they built a fence around the area so that they didn't have a lot of stuff hanging out there. I think they've done as much as they can do. They've only got 50 beds in there.
Yeah, we have family that live in that area, and they're very concerned and have been since it opened, because they've seen this uptick in the number of transits that are actually causing issues. And I'm talking, there's a difference between homelessness and transients. Transients come here for the services without looking to be part of the community. And then we've got people that really need a hand up that are homeless. And so balancing what you do to make sure that you're not impacting the people that actually have a need that want to be part of the community. Those are tough things to balance.
Yeah,
we have the spillover from Columbia Falls and Whitefish because they do not have those services.
I believe you're absolutely right there, Robin. Yeah. And I know you guys see it here. Mm-hmm. I drive down this road every day going to work, and I see it certainly from Depot Park on down to here.
But we out behind or where I park, things are being stowed out there.
And you're not going to tell us exactly where you park, right? Because you're right.
Things are being stowed out there, backpacks and things like that. And I hate to throw them away,
right?
But you know, by the same token, so what we did is we just set them up over by the trash containers, and they disappeared immediately. So,
right. I think that's taking that personal action, taking that one step to make this better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the housing situation, we're sure getting an awful lot of development requests now. The latest one, and I don't know if it will eventually come to you guys, so I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but there's concern about that 250 houses that they want to put in down in the Summers area.
Yeah, I think we're certainly seeing that. We haven't had it come across our desk yet. That'll go through the process, and then it'll come to us, and then we'll really scrutinize that. And that's a huge development. It's not on full municipal services. It will have water and sewer, I believe, is the plan for that, and beyond Lakeside water and sewer.
Yeah. And up north, we're still taking a lot of land up in the West Valley and that area and turning it into homes.
Yeah. You look back 25 years ago, Flathead County had 77,000 people. And today we're trying to guess how much it is, and it's a lot. It's well over. I suspect we're looking at 116,000 to 120,000 people.
Yeah.
That kind of growth in a community is huge, and just trying to keep up with it is nearly impossible. Keeping ahead of it is impossible.
At some point, it's going to slow down, which would give us a chance to catch our breath and maybe catch up.
It might. I think, because Flathead County tends to be a community that people believe are safe, is safe, and they come here from areas that they don't feel safe. And so even when the economy goes up and down, well, you might think it's going to affect us. It may not. It may actually do the opposite. We have some concerns about that people will move here when they see a deterioration in their community where they're living. Because we hear that from people already today.
We're talking with County Commissioner Randy Brodell, and let's talk septage after this.
How's your day going? All right? Well, it's about to get even better. This is Jolene for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. I have news that will help your life run smoother, more efficiently, and maybe just a little more fun. Glacier Bank's brand new online banking platform has launched. That's right, your better banking experience is here. Go online or download our new Glacier Bank app in the App Store or Google Play Store. This platform is a pleasure to navigate, and it securely takes care of your banking needs quickly so you can get back to your day or night. Experience streamlined 24/7 access from your computer, tablet, and smartphone. We know you are going to like it.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
Today we're talking with County Commissioner Randy Brodell. And finally, you don't have to worry about the septage plant anymore.
No, we're still worried about it. We're watching DEQ really closely. We have an agreement now with Lakeside Water and Sewer about what they're going to do with septage treatment plant. They're going to take that over, which is just a huge burden off of us. But DEQ is still working through the permit process. If they don't get there, then we wind up with that back. And we don't want it back because we don't have the expertise. We don't have the ability, I don't believe, to do an excellent job at this. And I think the direction we're going is our best option.
In your study of all of this, how many full-time employees are you going to need to operate this system?
So I can't tell you that we knew that going into this. We had some estimates, but I'm not satisfied that the engineer's estimates were even close to what it actually looked at. Initially, the numbers of dollars were under $20 million, and the last I heard, if we actually took this over, it'd be somewhere between $38 and $48 million. Yeah. And the number of people, certainly the 8 to 5 staff would be, it's just a guess. My guess is we would, after we had it up and running, would be at least 3 or 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Full-time equivalents and all of that. So it's,
right.
It's certainly an expense that we have to find a way to deal with. How's Lakeside going to handle that expense?
Well, so they've got, we paid them to expand their system. We paid them to put in an off-ramp for trucks pulling in off of 93, and so they could unload within a few hundred feet of the highway, and it would be all paved road coming in. And so they would be able to, trucks would just be able to be in and out real quick turnaround. Lakeside is looking at doing a partial treatment plant, expanding, possibly adding another pond. I think they've got the capability. I think DEQ thinks they've got the capability. And every time we talk to DEQ about it, they say, yeah, we're moving ahead. We're just not quite there yet.
Yeah. It's a major project and one that will have implications for decades to come.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's septage is treating those 30,000 septic tanks out there, giving them a place for the haulers to bring and dump the the effluent. We call it effluent officially. We call it a lot of other things.
You're so nice.
Yeah. but we have that. And then we've got expansion in every area from the landfill, which is also expanding. If you've been out there, I was just out there. Last time I was out there, there was a big hole in the ground in one area. This weekend, I was out there, had to drive to the top of the hill there.
Yeah, so did we, and it's real muddy.
Yeah, I was fortunately out there before it rained, and so it was great to be on the road out there because it can be pretty muddy. Yeah. And we've got that. We've got the 911 center is... we just have been dying on the vine trying to get employees, and we've made some changes. We've been really focused on that. We made several really large changes to the 911 center as far as staffing goes. And if you read the local paper here, you will have seen for the past several years that we've had an ad in there every day saying, we're hiring, please, we're hiring. We think we've hit the sweet spot because we just pulled that ad out of the paper because we can't hire any more people and train them at the same time. I'm thrilled with that. That is so exciting. We've got that going out there. We have Congressman Zinke will be here on Monday. We'll be receiving $1.3 million of federal money to do a multi-agency use tower for communications. We've got that going on. Our staff, we've actually increased the wages, the starting wages, to $23 an hour. We've changed our shifts around so that when you have emergency overtime standby, so you're on call, we've changed that so the dispatchers only have to do that for 4 hours at a block. The dispatchers, they came to us and said, hey, we've got an idea. We said, absolutely. After 5 years, not including cost of living that comes naturally through that, wages go to $25.50 an hour. We're doing some things out there that have been great. We have as you know, we've got the facility out there behind the DNRC, which is state of the art. But we also, starting in June, will have a full backup that is basically a mirror image of that. In the old CenturyLink building, mm-hmm. where we have the DMV, we have elections and all down in that, we have a bunker in there that is going to be fully functional. Within 20 minutes, we can have all our dispatchers move from that center down there, and just it'll be up and running. We're really just thrilled with what's going on with that.
This has definitely become the nerve center of all of Flathead County. We didn't have that when you were chief.
No, we were struggling. We had, you know, the sheriff dispatched themselves, City of Kalispell, Whitefish, Columbia Falls, they all did their own dispatching. We had different frequencies. And back in about 2002, there was a call that was dropped for about 40 minutes because not only were they dispatching themselves, they were on different frequencies. And so they didn't realize, the dispatcher at the sheriff's office didn't realize that this station over here, the only station at the time, was empty. They dispatched a call on a frequency that we weren't using on our ambulances, and so nobody knew that this was happening, so we didn't call in off duty. That started the process to get us to Flathead Emergency Communications Center as what it is today.
And you know, you don't really understand how important that is until you need them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. When you dial 911 and nobody answers, or when they promise you that somebody's coming and nobody shows up, that just doesn't work.
Yeah. I had a situation here, it was a few years ago over by the library, back porch of the library. Some guy was lying there, and so I went over, and he wasn't moving at all. And it didn't look like he was even breathing, so I kind of tried to wake him up and couldn't. So I called 911, and the guys they walked over. I mean, they ran over, you know, and turns out he was okay, but for some reason, I couldn't wake him up.
Sound sleeper, huh?
Apparently. Well, maybe he had a little help.
Yeah,
the point being, though, is that the response was within seconds.
Right, right. And, you know, I live in the city, at the edge of the city in the northeast corner, and response time from the closest station right now is 13 minutes to my house, and if you're familiar at all with what's called the fire curve, you'll know that after 10 minutes, your house could be a total loss. So we have a fire sprinkler system in our house because we knew that when going into it. Mm-hmm. And so we can somewhat have some assurance that the fire won't be very big when the fire department gets there. But that's a critical number. And as we look at new stations, we look at additional personnel, it's just critical. You know, and in the Flathead County, we have been doing, as you hear, a lot of stuff. And we just received an award that is the Employer of Choice Award runner-up. We didn't get, you know, we didn't get the first spot in the state, but we did get this award, and it is a runner-up. That means that this is government, and for government to get an award like that is incredible. For Flathead County to be able to get that, we are just thrilled, and it hit a lot of points of why we are where we are today. We've made 8 different changes in the county that have really impacted this, primarily focusing on our employees and their safety and their work output and the way they feel about their job. And so I'm thrilled to be a county commissioner.
Randy Brodell's our guest. He is the county commissioner, and we got to talk jail, and we'll do that next.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
may seem like a silly question, but hear me out. My name is Courtney Holquist with Glacier Bank, member FDIC. When operating a business, would you rather things run smoothly or be a hassle? Easy answer, right? Using efficient products and services makes all the difference. Totally free business checking with Glacier Bank is one of those tools. It helps smart business owners like you keep profits up and costs down. Our totally free business checking requires no minimum to open and no monthly service charges. You also get 3,000 free monthly transaction items. Whether you're just starting out or expanding, Glacier Bank wants to keep your business running smoothly and succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Go to glacierbank.com, call, or visit. How about today?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
We're talking with Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. We've been talking about a new jail for a long time. We could put it in the old Walmart location. What about Shopko?
Oh, yeah.
But now we have a location south of town.
We have a location. We purchased about 115 acres, just shy of 115 acres, that is in a great spot. It's surrounded by, much of it is surrounded by industrial ground. It is easy access to Highway 93. And we are moving ahead with, we just received the request for information and we got back 12 businesses that are interested in what we're doing and looking at what the options would be there.
Okay, so in addition to the jail, you might sublease area or what? How would that work?
Well, we would, in addition...
Have a shopping mall?
Yeah, maybe a new Shopko, yeah. we are, what we're doing is we're considering options. Pete Melnick, our county administrator, and I walked that ground again yesterday, just talking about ideas and what things might look like. There's some of the options are a jail. Another option would be a jail plus a sheriff's office.
Right.
And another one would be one or two courtrooms in addition to that down there. And all about doing what's most efficient for our county. You know, we have unintended consequences when you've added we added one district court judge, we added one municipal judge. When you do that, you catch more bad guys and you prosecute them more. When you add more deputies, you catch more bad guys. And that all sounds good that we're getting bad guys off the street, but we've got to have a place to process them and get them back into work.
You need
society.
The courts, you need the facilities. And
yes,
everything.
You do.
And so you're thinking about combining some of that operation.
It's a consideration, then because one of the things that we were talking about in this, what do you do when you transport a prisoner from the jail to the courthouse? Because that is, in my mind, that is the highest risk part of what you do when you have a jail that's separated from a courthouse. So you put them in a car, and now all of a sudden they become vulnerable to having help with an escape.
Yeah, yeah. We see that. I've seen that movie before, I think.
There's probably been more than one that's written.
Well, and we had one just recently that someplace in the country, the guy must have gotten news out because they ended up killing several
people. I believe that was in Idaho. That's one of the things that we've got to consider. As we look at a jail, we're moving really slow on this. We don't want to get this wrong because you only get one shot at building a jail and getting it right. And so it's liable to come before the voters if we decide to continue moving ahead in how we're looking at it. Liable to come before the voters next year in November. And certainly not, I don't think, before that.
And part of the money to do this has been saved up or accrued already.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have, by the time we start construction on this, we're going to have well over $30 million, I believe, set aside for this. That sounds like a lot of money, but reality is this is probably going to be over $100 million.
Yep. Randy, as always, a great conversation. We appreciate the opportunity to talk with you candidly like we do
It's good to be with you guys. It's kind of like sitting with two Robin Williamses over there. Great entertainment, a lot of fun.
Okay, thanks so much, Randy.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, the service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.